today as we come to the table.
Mark, did you know how muscles work? And I said, well, you know, to what degree? What do you mean? He said, well, muscles have an interesting law about them. He said, they are either building up or they are tearing down. There is no neutral. He said, if you're not using your muscles to build them up, they go in reverse and tear down. If you do use them, they build up. And what a beautiful spiritual analogy that is to this very example of weight training, if you will, waiting on the Lord. Because the Bible says that if we're not using our faith, if we're not exercising our faith and walking forward in the Lord, we are going backwards. Believer, listen to me. There is no such thing as being neutral once you're saved.
Is your faith being built up or torn down? Your faith is being built up when life hems you in with no apparent way out, and then God delivers you. Oh, what joy to see God move! Your faith is weakened when you don't need to use your faith, when you don't rely on God, but try to find your own way out of your mess. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. Pastor Mark instructs us today that our faith is like a muscle. It needs to be exercised or it will wither away. God puts our faith through weight training. He puts us in an impossible situation, makes us wait, and then rescues us. This is God's way of making us stronger. Let's remember His method in the midst of our next trial. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of 1 John chapter 1 with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Let's open up to Genesis chapter 8. As we continue on through the book of Genesis and looking today at a new beginning, why don't we pray and ask the Lord to bless it? Lord, we thank you for bringing us here. And Lord, we know that with each person you have brought here, there is a reason we are here today. Lord, it is not just to come to church and is not just to be religious. Lord, you have a message today for our hearts. And I just pray, Lord, that you would pour out your spirit on us today. I ask that you would speak to hearts. And Lord, there are some here today that really feel they're in a place where they need a new beginning. And I pray, even as we see your faithfulness today to Noah and his family, to give them that new beginning, I ask that you would show your faithfulness to them today and encourage them, Lord, strengthen them. And we look forward to what you're going to do. And I ask now that you would be the teacher by the power of your Holy Spirit. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. A new beginning. You know, all of us have times in our lives when we wish we could just start over. You ever been there? I mean, maybe something you said and you wish you hadn't said it, or something you didn't say and wish you did say it, or something that you did and wish you didn't do, or something you didn't do that you wish you did do. Whatever the case might be, all of us have done things we wish we could take back and just start all over. You know, there's this interesting new email program now that if you send somebody an email and you want to get it back, you can go steal it and take it back. I hate that, because you get a message and it says so-and-so sent you a message, but now they've taken it back. You're like, it's like you've been stolen from or something. Someone has taken your message from you. But at the same time, there is a great benefit to that when it comes to the things of God. And that is although we do things we wish we didn't do and say things we wish we hadn't said, we have a new and fresh beginning, a new start with the Lord if we simply ask His forgiveness and start over. And that is really what today's about. The Bible says that if we come to Jesus, He makes all things new and He makes the old pass away. 1 John 1:9 says this, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we see God's faithfulness to give us a new start. And today we're going to look not only at God literally giving Noah and his family a fresh start, but all of mankind, a brand new and fresh start. Not just then, but even, of course, when Jesus died on the cross. And maybe you feel like you need a new beginning. You know, you need to know that God is a God of new beginnings. And if you ask Him, He'll simply do that for you today. And so you need that encouragement. In addition to that, many of us go through times, especially if we feel we need a new beginning or a time of struggle, that we feel like God has forgotten us. You ever been there? Maybe it's a time in your life going, God, where are you? I mean, you used to be so involved in my life. You moved in such a great way. And now all of a sudden, it seems like things are stagnant. Things are stale. Understand that God has a purpose for those times as well. And I know that God's going to encourage you today with his word, even in that area. And let me say this. It may even be that you feel you've been forgotten by even family and friends. They may forget you, but rest assured in this, God will never forget you. And this is a lesson that Noah had to learn, and it's a lesson that we need to learn as well. And I'm sure that Noah would have been tempted to feel that he was forgotten by God after being on this ark for over a year. Think about it, drifting aimlessly, you know, and knowing, God, when's this going to end? Where am I going to end up? Where's this thing going to go? And yet God is the one controlling the entire process. I mean, he might have felt aimless. He might have felt just wandering and floating without direction. God was supernaturally guiding that boat, taking it to its destination. And at just the right time, God would set it down on land. God would open the door and release them and give them a brand new start on life. And some of you may be right now in the midst of that boat. You're floating around. You're wondering, what is my life doing? Do I have any direction? Where am I going? Is God even there? Is anyone controlling this vessel? And the Lord wants you to know today that he's very much in control of the vessel. The problem is you have to learn to wait. Now, who of us like to wait? Nobody likes to wait. And yet understand this, believer, wait training is a big part of God's plan for your life. It's just a part of it. You can't get around it. You've heard the phrase, no pain, no gain. The same thing is true when it comes to the believer's life. The greatest work that God does in our lives is oftentimes through the times of waiting and the greatest pain. Now, I don't know if any of you guys ever lifted weights when you were younger, but I did. And you can't tell that by looking at me now. But I was younger. I mean, I not just lifted weights. I was a fanatic at it. I mean, I would go like 2 hours or more a day, 6 days a week, lifting weights, pouring my life into that. And it's amazing. You know, when you do that, yeah, you see changes, but if you want to see the changes you really desire, they begin to happen when it starts to be painful. You see, one of the hardest lessons for me was, is when they told me, they said, now, you do this many reps. Now, when it starts to hurt, yeah, that's when you're starting to get change. I don't like that. I want change with 1 and 2 when it feels okay. I don't want to get to, you know, 9 and 10 and whatever, and then it start hurting. And so, but that's when the change takes place. Likewise, in the believer's life. It's oftentimes when God stretches us to the ultimate limits, and it begins to be the most anxious and the most painful in our life that God says, now I can begin to change you. But there's also something else about lifting weights. You know, I used to have with me most of the time or a lot of the time, a spotter, what we call a spotter. And those of you that lifted weights, you know what that is. Somebody was there. So if you got to those last few reps and you couldn't get it back on the bar, they would grab the bar and help you get it back up on the bar. But that was good. The bad thing about the spotter is when they would start saying, come on, you can do one more. You can do one more. You know, if they're really mean, you can do 2 more or 3 more. You know, like just you're dying. Well, understand that when it comes to weight training in God's kingdom, if he's going to build the muscles of faith, if he's going to build the muscles of hope in your life and grow you beyond that, it's got to hurt a little bit. And God's going to be saying to you and maybe saying to some of you, give me one more rep. One more rep. God, I can't take another rep. I know what you can take, and I'm your spotter. Give me one more rep because it's the only way I can get you to the place that you need to be for the next area I'm sending you into. I'm growing you. I'm maturing you. I'm working in your life. Someone came up after the second service and said, Mark, did you know how muscles work? And I said, well, you know, to what degree? What do you mean? He said, well, muscles have an interesting law about them. He said, they are either building up or they are tearing down. There is no neutral. He said, if you're not using your muscles to build them up, they go in reverse and tear down. If you do use them, they build up. And what a beautiful spiritual analogy that is to this very example of weight training, if you will, waiting on the Lord. Because the Bible says that if we're not using our faith, if we're not exercising our faith and walking forward in the Lord, we are going backwards. Believer, listen to me. There is no such thing as being neutral once you're saved. If you start living a neutral life and just try to float through life, you're not going to not only not grow, you're going to go backwards. And so we have to understand it's a constant moving forward as we wait on the Lord, but we have to wait in his timing. And then God increases our faith and he grows us in hope as well. The outstanding characteristics of the great New England preacher, Phillips Brooks, they said, were poise and the fact that he was not easily disturbed. His intimate friends, however, knew that at times he suffered moments of frustration and irritability. And one day a friend saw him in such a state, pacing the floor like a caged lion, it says. And he said, "What is the trouble, Dr. Brooks?" He said, "The trouble is that I'm in a hurry, but God isn't." That is so true of us, is it not? God is not in a hurry in your life. Did you know that? He's got eternity. As a matter of fact, God is molding and shaping you for eternity. And I want to say this, God is much more concerned about eternity than the here and now. Now, what are we mostly concerned about? We're mostly concerned about right now. It hurts now. I need, you know, this is what I need you. This, and don't get me wrong, He's there for us. But God is saying, I know that it hurts now, but I'm more concerned about what it's going to do to you in the long run. And so trust me in what I'm doing. And so today we'll see that Noah was in the same place, yet waiting on God to prepare him for a brand new start. God had plans for Noah, something exciting set ahead, and God has plans for each of us if we just wait and trust in what He's doing. Now remember the setting where we left off. Noah and his family were in the ark, still during the storm. They had no idea how long it would last or how long they'd be floating without instruction. It must have been a very tough time, a very anxious time, but today we'll see that God breaks the silence. Notice chapter 8, verse 1. It says, then God remembered Noah. Now note that. God remembered Noah. It doesn't mean here, and understand this, it doesn't mean that God forgot him. It's not like God's up there going, la, 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 oh, Noah. Oh, no, that Noah guy. Oh, no, he's in the boat. Angels, has anybody checked on him at all? You know? And we tend to think sometimes that's how it is with God. It's like, I'm down here and I'm floating aimlessly. Where are you? I'm stuck in this thing. I can't get out. I'm miserable. And God says, I didn't forget you. I know where you are. So understand when it says God remembered Noah, when it speaks in those terms scripturally, it's speaking about now God realizes it's time to act. And so now Noah had come to the point where God said, all right, it's time to act. It's time to move you beyond the situation that you're in. You've not been forgotten. God has watched him the entire time and not only had a plan, but knew exactly when he was going to deliver him. And you know, you need to know that you've not been forgotten either. And some of you may be feeling right now that you've been forgotten. And your circumstances certainly make it appear that way. You know, it would have been very easy for Satan to tempt Noah and say, you know what, God's forgotten you. He doesn't care about you. He's left you out here just to die. He's going to float till all the food's gone, then you're going down with the ship, buddy. But understand this, God has not forgotten you, and God did not forget Noah either. He knows exactly what he's doing, and he knows exactly when he's doing it, and he knows exactly the best time to take action. But also, when it comes to times that seems like God has forgotten us, we need to make sure that we don't forget God. And we're going to see later on that Noah definitely had his priorities in order and realized that although he may have felt forgotten, he may have been tempted to feel that way. The scripture doesn't really tell us. But I'm sure that that could have been an easy temptation. I can assure you that he was not forgotten and that he shows God he didn't forget him once he gets off of the boat. Lessons learned from Noah, but lessons we need ourselves. You know, again, don't believe the lie of Satan that tells you that God has forgotten you, because he hasn't. Isaiah 49:15 says this, and notice this, God speaking to his people says this, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget. In other words, even a mom may forget her child if her heart was to grow hard. However, notice this, but I will not forget you. That is a promise of the Lord. That is a promise you need to fix in your heart firmly today, especially if you feel forgotten of the Lord. He says, I will not forget you. And notice it says not only that God remembered Noah, it says, and every living thing, and all the animals that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters subsided. Now note this. Next it says that God remembered even the animals. And if God remembered the animals, how much more will he remember us? Matthew 10, verse 29 through 31 says this. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? Note this, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. You see, God makes it a point to show here that he cares about the animal kingdom as well in this whole passage, and yet the scripture tells us God cares a lot more about us than animals. And if God knows when a single sparrow falls to the ground, God certainly knows what your situation is today, and he's very aware of what you need, and he's here to meet that need. Notice next it says that God made a wind to pass over the earth. It's the same word used for the Holy Spirit in Genesis chapter 1 when it says the Holy Spirit was hovering over the face of the waters. Now, I find this very interesting and very appropriate in that At the original creation, God was hovering over the waters with his Holy Spirit, the wind. The word there is ruach in the language. Now, once again, as God is recreating after flooding the earth, again, we see the work of the Holy Spirit now recreating, if you will, and preparing the earth for man to inhabit it. And so God's hand involved in every aspect, although Noah may not have seen that. And it says in verse 2, the fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven were also stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained, and the waters receded continually from the earth, and at the end of 150 days, the water decreased. Then the ark rested. Note that. In the seventh month, the 17th day of the month, on the mountains of Ararat. Now this verse is loaded. Note what it says here first. The seventh month, on the 17th day, the ark came to rest. Now, those of you who know numbers in Scripture know that the number 7 in Scripture is the number of completeness. It means complete. God is finished. And it's interesting here that we see God giving Noah rest once the storm is complete. And what an encouragement that is to us. Note this. Once God has finished sending us through what we need to go through in our weight training, in order to be prepared for the next season of our life, which God is leading us toward, God will not do it until it is complete. But once it is complete, God will give us rest. Know that the Lord has it in his timing. So in the same way, we can rest assured that once God has completed the trials and storms, he's going to give us rest and hope. Now, it's also interesting, and note this, it landed on the mountains of Ararat, which interestingly enough, to complete the picture, the name Ararat means the curse reversed. What an appropriate place for the ark to rest after the flood subsided. Why? On this day, God gave them rest and a reversal of the curse of his judgment. And what makes this even more interesting, it wasn't just God giving them a day of rest and a reversal of the curse of the judgment of that day. According to the Jewish calendar, which most scholars believe that the Jews later on lined up with Genesis and still use today. Note this, the seventh month and the 17th day is the exact same day that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Isn't that exciting? 3 days after Passover, and again, the exact day. Now, why is that such a beautiful picture of what God is not only showing Noah here, but what God is showing us in our generation? Now, Noah couldn't possibly have known that would be the day that the Messiah would resurrect from the grave. He probably didn't even understand at that point the Messiah would die. But what's exciting for us in our generation, even as God gave Noah rest and the reversal of the curse, if you will, in his day, he's given us the same thing today. And that is for all who receive Jesus Christ, on that day he resurrected from the dead, and all who receive him will receive rest and assurance that the curse of sin in their life has been reversed. What a beautiful picture. It's interesting how the Lord works and how he paints a picture for us in doing this. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And for those who put their faith in Jesus Christ, that's exactly what happens. The Lord gives us rest. He reverses the curse of sin, and all things become new. You know what's interesting? Jesus said, come unto me, and I will give you rest. And so now we see again this beautiful picture here, even of the gospel message. And remember, we said when you're searching the scriptures, you should be looking for Jesus everywhere, because Jesus said himself, he's in the volume of the book. And so it comes to rest on the 17th day of the seventh month on the mountains of Ararat. And notice verse 5, and the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. And in the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. So it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark, which he had made, and he sent out a raven, note that, which kept going to and fro until the waters had dried up from the heaven. He also sent out from himself a dove to see if the water had abated from the face of the ground. But the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot. Notice that. And she returned into the ark to him, for the waters were on the face of the entire earth. And so he put out his hand and he took her and he drew her into the ark to himself. Now understand, to begin with, there's a very practical reason that Noah sent out a raven and then a dove. Now what is that practical reason? Well, ravens are scavengers and they eat dead carcasses. They feast on dead flesh, if you will. And Noah at this time could only see the water. The ark had come to rest, but it was still covered by water on the sides. And what Noah wanted to know was, has the water abated? A raven would continue to search the waters, and they're a long flight bird. So they would have searched the waters and been looking for, you know, dead creatures. There would have been plenty of them, of course, in the water after the flood. And they would have been able to sustain themselves that way. But sending out a raven would not let you know whether or not the water was receding. And note this, Noah is looking for signs of hope. We'll see that in just a minute. He's looking desperately for signs of hope that this time in the ark is almost done. And so after he sends out the raven, he also sends out a dove. Now, why is that interesting? Because a dove is a shorter range flight animal, and a dove won't feast on dead animals or dead people for that matter. It will not feast on dead flesh. They eat seeds, they eat fruit, and they need a place where they can land. They're short flight, they wouldn't go and land on some carcass, it wouldn't do them any good. So Noah would have realized by this, the raven may stay gone, it may not come back. But the dove would come back if there wasn't any land. If the dove didn't come back, he knows there's land, there's hope. And so again, he sends us out with this expectation of finding land. But before we go on to his disappointment in that, I also find it very interesting because I believe the Holy Spirit is also giving us a spiritual truth in this as well. And that is, notice he releases a raven and a dove. Ravens in scripture are unclean animals and are a type, biblically, of Satan and the demonic realm. Now, why is that interesting? Because you see, Satan and the demonic realm will always feed on dead flesh. And how appropriate it is to give us a picture of the animal being released, and we're going to see the raven did not return. It did not come back. Why? Because it found a lot of dead flesh to feast on. And that's exactly what Satan finds today, isn't it? A lot of dead flesh and dead people spiritually in this world to feast on. You know, the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober and be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. Note this, seeking whom he may devour. And so we see a spiritual picture of the enemy devouring, and we see a very literal picture here of the raven devouring. But wait a minute, Mark. Okay, there's the spiritual truth of seeing how the enemy thrives on that. What does that have to do with us? Well, what's interesting is when the dove didn't find a place to land its feet, there was no place for the sole of its foot, the dove came back into the ark, a place where it could abide, a place where it was welcome, a place where it felt welcome. Here's the analogy to us. You see, even as ravens in scripture are a type of the demonic realm or Satan, the dove is a type of the Holy Spirit. And the question for us is, does the Holy Spirit find in our lives a place to set the sole of her foot? In other words, is there a place for the dove to land in our life? Now, you can tell by someone whether or not they've got the raven landing on him or they have the dove. And that is if there's a lot of flesh in their life, if there's a lot of death in their life, that is spiritual death. And yet the Holy Spirit desires a place in your life. Now, don't misunderstand me. When you give your life to Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells within you. So as a believer, you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. However, the Bible says we can grieve the Spirit of the Lord. And that is we can grieve his spirit and find that he can't work as much in our life as he wants to work. The question is this, as Satan swarms around your life and as the Holy Spirit swarms around your life, which one finds the place to land most comfortable? And that will determine what our walk is like and where we are in the Lord.
It's always a blessing to have you come to the table of God's Word with us each and every day. Pastor Mark's been going through the book of Genesis, and there's much to learn and appreciate from this first book of the Bible. Sometimes to fully grasp something later on, you need to understand where things began. From verse 1, God made it clear that he was there all along, and he set things in motion exactly as he instructed. Isn't it neat to see that all of creation is under God's authority? That includes you. This could seem a bit intimidating, but it's actually God's way of looking out for your best interests. Once you look at it that way, you start to realize that everything in all of creation is something that God initiated with intention, and that includes you. What a great thing to come to today. If you missed any part of this message or would like to hear this one again, you can always go back and find it at thewaymedia.net. Just click on the Come to the Table tab. Another way to access these messages is by downloading the Way Media app from the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. By doing this, you'll be able to take these teachings with you wherever you go. Would you like to get in touch with us? Our number is 865-609-1385. Once more, that's 865-609-1385. 1385. Feel free to call us with questions or to even ask for prayer. Please come back for another edition where Pastor Mark will continue his teaching through the book of Genesis the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.